Hi, this is Luca.
And this is Laura.
And this is the CareerBeat Talks podcast,
where we bring you the latest insights from the world of recruiting.
From both sides, the candidate's perspective and the company's perspective.
Let's jump right in. When you start to work in a new country, for example, in Germany, which was my case, I of course was super nervous when I needed to read through the contract per se, because of course you have no idea what needs to be in it, what are, you know, terms that are okay, or maybe things where you're like, is this supposed to be in the contract, or maybe is there something missing in it? That is why today we also wanted to just go a little bit over, you know, what should be in a contract and an employment contract here in Germany. So it's a rather more informative and more straightforward podcast than the ones we normally do, where we discuss everything in detail. Because I think there's no right or wrong. There's just how it should be. However, also, Luca, if you have any, you know, stories of contracts, weird contracts that you've saw or anything, feel free to also share. I don't know if you've had that experience. So let us start a little bit with the basics, because in a work contract, we will find many areas, something like the wages, you know, the holidays and so on. But let us start in the beginning. What are the key information that should be part of an employment contract, Luca?
Yeah, the basic is just like with every other contract, right? So first you should have the names of the parties that are making this contract. Yeah, so the employer's name and the address, and the candidate's name and the address, of course. And then also importantly, and this is something you need to look out for, is of course we have the employer's address, but also it needs to be specified later than where is your location of work. So where are you supposed to work, and does the employer have the right to maybe assign you to a different location? Yeah, that maybe for one company it just has one company office, maybe that's at the first seems not so important, but let's say you work in a company with multiple stores, for example, or with different sites that they have, or the company maybe is moving in the future. Yeah, so this is something that is important. Most of the time, however, there you will find some clause where the company says, well, we have your allowance to assign you to different locations because the company wants to stay flexible. Yeah, so this is something you have to think for yourself. Do you want to sign this contract or not? But yeah, just look out for where is the, not only the location of the employer, but also where is the location of where you are supposed to work.
Mm-hmm. I think you definitely mentioned the key things that should be in any contract, so make sure to look out for that. But I think almost every employer knows this and will for sure also enter that. However, check it out. And then we will talk about more specific things as well in just a second. But before we go into more detail, I do want it to show one best practice, because from the law, in Germany, the employment contract does not have to be written in, you know, the language that you understand. So, for example, in English, it can just be written in German and handed over to you in that language. However, the employer needs to ensure that you have enough time to, you know, in a way to translate it and then, you know, read through it and have enough time before you need to sign it. But a best practice, and we have seen that, especially like in late times, we've seen more companies do that, where the contract is written in two languages. So you see on the left side the German version, on the right side the English version. And I think that's such a great best practice also from the employer perspective. I mean, yes, you have to do the translation once, but once you have the framework of the contract, changing the details will be very, very easy. And then you're helping, you know, your global workforce that you're going to hire now and in the future to better understand the contract as well and clarify questions later on. So I do like this best practice for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks so much for the ad. So that's something in general, how, if you are an international company, how should you design these documents, right? So, and basically every Word document, you can kind of like split the document in the middle. So then Maybe now let me add the other important points that we have. So we said not only the parties, but of course where you're supposed to work, then of course also the duration of the work relationship is important to be specified. We also have a notice period, right? With German companies, you usually have a certain notice period that defines when both parties want to end the contract, when should it be, yeah, how long does one party have to give the other party to notice until the contract can end. And then, of course, since it's a working contract, now we have some specific areas like what's the salary going to be? Are there any additional payments, bonus structure, something like this, or is it just a fixed salary? When is the money going to be paid? Usually in Germany, we have the salaries paid at the end of the month. So after you have worked the first month, you get paid. It's not like in the US, I think sometimes you have like two weekly payments or so bi-weekly payment. So in Germany, it's always like you once at the end of the month, I think in 99.9% of the cases. And of course, also the working hours, that's really important. So how much are you working? How many hours per week is usually specified? Sometimes per month. Number of holidays is very important. And some companies, especially when they are part of unions, there's sometimes some collective agreement. There needs to be some reference to. But yeah, that's maybe a bit longer overview, but these are the most important things that needs to be clarified. Other than this, of course, parties have the right to add additional information to any contract. But I also always say, like, for companies, if you want to have a good candidate experience, really read through your contracts after time. Really think, is that really necessary that we define absolutely everything? And then we have like a 20-page document. I recently saw a working contract was 2 pages. Everything was defined.
Oh.
And it was quite nice to read through it. It was very fast. And yeah, everything was clear. And let's go.
That's so interesting. I've never seen a two-pager though, but a very, very interesting best practice as well. I do like it as well. And I thank you also for mentioning so many aspects. I think there are some elements where we can just look a little bit more in detail and provide a little bit more of information of what the average is or what you can expect overall in Germany, so that you also have this information. And I do want to start with the termination of the employment relationship. You already mentioned that before, but I found it very interesting here in Germany to see that, I mean, first of all, the notice period is defined. Sometimes it is something like per month. So every month you could hand in your resignation, which in Germany needs to be a written letter, not an email. It needs to be like an official letter that you hand in to your employer. But it's very important because also we work with so many talents when we help companies recruit them. And then we, of course, always need to also ask, what is your termination in the current employer you have? Because once you handed in your resignation, it doesn't mean you can leave the company right away. Like, for example, I think in the US or also in South America, I think it's like 10 days and that's it. In Germany, a lot of companies have termination periods of 3 months or 1 month or however long
at
it is.
At least there are
1 month.
Even longer, yeah.
That's true. And many companies also define the termination period based on how many years you've worked there or the type of position you have within a company, right? So higher level positions have longer termination times. It makes sense from the company perspective as well, right? Because if they lose you, they lose the whole knowledge, right? And they need enough time to find someone that can properly also keep up with everything they are kind of losing through you leaving the company. But I really wanted here to highlight that when we talk with talents, we also have encountered cases where you can only resign every quarter and you need to hand that in 2 weeks before the end of a quarter. So be very careful, like reading through that before you sign it, because it can have big implications, right? So, for example, if that is in your contract, then you need to be aware that you won't be as flexible changing job. And because you can only resign every quarter, it also means that when you're applying, you kind of need to make the employer aware of that, the new employer, so to say, because the starting date might vary quite a bit, right? So be aware if you really want this type of termination contracts or not, depending also on your long-term plans as well. I think that was one thing. And in that regard, if an employer is listening to us, given the long termination periods that many employees here in Germany have, we also want to shine a light on hiring international talents, because sometimes we think the visa process takes so long. But given the fact that we most of the times anyway have to wait 3 months, maybe even longer, that is the same time that people most of the times need to get a visa. So just to point out this little fact. Hi, this is Laura. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. I hope you're truly enjoying it. And if I could ask for one little favor from you, it would be that you make sure to follow this podcast and also rate it. This will truly make such a big difference for us here in CareerBee, so that we start reaching more people who are looking for a job in Germany and also more companies who are looking for talents. Thank you so much for doing this. Let's move on to another topic, which is the working hours. What is the average of working hours in Germany, Luca?
Yeah, so for full-time roles, usually we have a 40-hour week. And some companies, however, say, hey, yes, you still work full-time and you are paid as a full-time employee, but we have a little bit of reduced working hours. So some companies that I know, for example, have 38 and a half hours. Some, even if they are in certain industries, in certain tariffs, they only have 35. So that's, of course, very nice, because you get still paid like a full-time, as a full-time employee, but you only have to work with these work hours. But I would say overall, the standard is still 40 hours per week.
Absolutely. So also here a fact that you should check in your contract, but most companies already are aware of that. But it's very interesting to see the different models here. And we have another podcast where we talk about flexible working time. So make sure to listen to it if you want to learn a little bit more about different models of work. I think one thing I was super surprised about when I started working in Germany was the whole topic of breaks, right? And that's very interesting, because in Germany, if you work between 6 to 9 hours per day, you are entitled to a 30-minute break that you should take no longer than between 6 hours of work, so to say. But it's also very important to mention that you will not get paid for that 30 minutes extra. So if you want to work, let's say, 8 hours during a day, you need to calculate 8.5 hours, so to say, because you should take this half hour break. And I think many companies will also ensure that you take this break. I know some have like these cards where you sign in and sign off. So during the break, you would sign off, go to your break, and then sign in again, so the company can really track the breaks that you took. So I found that very interesting. And this is also something that you'll find within the contract information, just as an info. More cool topics, holidays, Luca. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so for the holidays, this is actually something where most employers do more than is required by law. So if you are a full-time employee working 5 days per week, you are by law entitled to 20 vacation days per year, which as I know from many of our American friends, is more than the average paid time off in some US companies already. But even more than that, like, a lot of German companies actually exceed that, and I have not seen any company that would just do 20 anymore. So I think for most companies, it's between, I would say, 26 and 30 vacation days that they are offering. And I think the best practice that has established itself over the last years, especially by bigger industrial companies, is 30 vacation days per year.
Yes. So also, this is very interesting, and you should definitely check out most of the companies will already promote that in the job ad. If they are offering more, and then, you know, the minimum required, but still something very interesting to look into. And keep in mind that that's holidays, right? But on top, you also have national holidays, which, depending in which area of Germany you're in, it can be a lot of additional holidays. So I have encountered myself, and also had friends that encountered the situation where you have so many holidays somehow that it is difficult to, you know, take them throughout a year, which is such a privilege. So it's amazing here in Germany. And on top, also, I think many companies tend to be quite flexible in regards to when you can take the holidays. The previous employer I had, or the first employer I had, also had this additional rule where if there was a national holiday or a bank holiday that was maybe on Thursday or something, you needed to take off Friday, which was like the bridge day. So no one was allowed to come in that day. And it was just like an additional thing to do. You didn't have to take a day off from your vacation. So a lot of cool things that companies can do. So make sure to really understand what your company is offering there. Which brings us to the last topic for today. I mean, we said we're just going to give a broad overview because there's so many details, but feel free to use the question section of the podcast to just ask specific questions you have on work contracts here in Germany. We're happy to look into that. But the last part will be wages. And of course, one last part that you will see in every work contract is, of course, your salary. I think here it's just important to truly understand, is it the package they offered you verbally when you were talking with them or that you were discussing over time? And of course, here you need to always keep in mind that there is a minimum wage in Germany. I mean, most employers are aware of that. I think it's per hour 12.40. You will most of the times win much more than that, depending on which area you're working in. But make sure that the wage that you see in your contract is corresponding to what you discussed. In case not, feel free to also ask questions, right? As long as you didn't sign the contract, there's still a way to improve the document in case you find something that is not corresponding to what you discussed previously with the employers. So this would be the main blocks of the contract. We try to give you a little bit of understanding what are the main things that you should find in there. But of course, you'll find additional details depending on what the company also wants to add to it. And feel free to use the Q&A if you have any further questions on this topic. We will make a short summary on this podcast episode because it was just an informative one for you guys. Thank you so much for listening. And I hope that many of you have a work contract to look into because that means you're going to start a job in Germany soon. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. We're super happy to have you here. And if you are a company who's looking for talents to expand their team, make sure to check out our services at careerbee.de because there we explain how we help you find top talents much faster. And on the other side, if you're a talent who's currently looking for a job here in Germany, then make sure to also check out our website under careerbee.de/talents, because there you'll discover more about our brand new masterclass, where we really guide you step by step on how to find that dream job of yours. But in either case, you can also just send us a direct email to team@careerbee.de because we're also super happy to address all your questions directly there. Wishing you a wonderful day.